You've heard the phrase, and I've heard the phrase multiple times, I'm sure. There's some phrases that go around that mean, perhaps mean what they say, but also has this extended meaning to what they say. And so we can say things like, there's two sides to every coin. And that is a reality, right? There's two sides to every coin, right? There's a heads or tails, whatever, but it has a deeper meaning than that. It says more than that. It says that there are two very different things, but are part of a common situation. So there's not just a heads and a tail in that statement. There are two very different things, but they are part of a common situation. There's two sides to every coin. The next picture is this. There's two sides to every coin, right? The top of that is going into Philadelphia. The bottom of that is going into the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon. Okay, it's both, the situation is both Pennsylvania, right? But there's two sides to every coin. There's two sides to Pennsylvania. There is the Grand Canyon side, and there is the Philadelphia side. There are two sides to every coin. And even on this picture, we know that some of us have two sides of us, right? At least there's two sides to every coin. There's two sides. And it's part of the same situation. My attitude can be good or my attitude can be sour. If you don't know that for sure, you can raise a two-year-old once, and they'll show you that there's definitely two sides to the same child. There's two sides to the same coin. The child or the person or the situation, there's a common situation, but there's two different sides to it. And I think that in 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1, and 2 Peter 2, we've been navigating through some of this material over the past few weeks. But as I get to 2 Peter 2, I begin to say, this is a completely different than 2 Peter 1. The people that are being described in 2 Peter chapter 1 are one side of the coin. The people being described in 2 Peter 2 are the other side of the coin. There are definitely two sides of the coin here. 1 Peter says this, and we've read this often, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received the faith as precious as ours. He's talking about people who have received the faith, one that is a precious faith through the righteousness of God, and are in this relationship with God. He's unpacking this vibrant relationship with God in 2 Peter chapter 1. And he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And then he says, his divine power has given us everything we need. He's describing this people, these people that are in this vibrant relationship with God through Christ. And he goes on to say stuff like this. Push the button, please. He goes on to say, he has given us his very great and precious promises. You may participate in the divine nature. You will escape the corruption of the world. He's laying out some pretty intricate stuff and pretty powerful stuff for a 2 Peter chapter 1 person. And then he continues. In the passage, he gives us stuff like goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. They're all on your table. You can partake of those. As a matter of fact, you can possess these qualities in increasing measures. This is an endless supply of these things. There's an endless supply of knowledge. There's an endless supply of goodness. There's an endless supply of self-control. You can partake of this. It's a very unique situation. This is not your normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill human. This is a human that has supernatural power. This is a human that has been given something and is describing the benefits of having a faith with Jesus Christ. You can possess these things in increasing measure. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One day, you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. One day you're going to close your eyes here as this person, as a chapter one person of 2 Peter. You're going to close your eyes and you're going to, for the final time on this earth, and you're going to open them up in the presence of Jesus. That's a very unique situation. It's not your run-of-the-mill, everyday human. It's definitely one side of the coin. Oh, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Oh, not only that, you have this. And this is not your run-of-the-mill, everyday nursery rhyme, historical book, poetry book. This is the very word of God that God has given you. Wait a minute, chapter one, believer, you're stacked. You've got an amazing inheritance. You've got something that starts now in this relationship with God. And you've got this amazing growth that you can have. And you have been given not only this as a book, but you've been given the knowledge now that this is the very word of God. And you have the Spirit, which can give you the understanding. Powerful. Powerful. And I know we've talked about this over the last several weeks, and I'm resisting unpacking pieces of this as I go, because it's so rich, it's so powerful, it's so amazing that God has done this for us. But then I go to 2 Peter 2, and that's where I started the message for this week, because that's my guide. I'm going to 2 Peter because I want to eat the whole menu. And I have a habit, like many of you, you go to a restaurant, you don't need a menu. Just give me a chicken salad. Just give me a dragon burger. Just give me with fresh cut fries and unsweetened tea. That might be Tobin's what he orders. He doesn't need a menu. And I have a feeling at times in our spiritual journey, we don't need a menu. We just wanted the same thing over and over and over. And that's not what I want to do. I want to read the whole menu. I want to eat from the whole menu. So I allow that to direct me. And so I come to 2 Peter, chapter 2. And it starts out with but. And I'm like, wait a minute. You just got me all amped up in one. And now you've got me with a but. Something that's opposite of that. But then he says this, but there were also false prophets among the people. What do you mean? Somebody's jacking up the situation of chapter 1. Why are you messing with chapter 1? He said, I need you to know that the other side of the coin of this situation. You got a chapter 1, but you also have a chapter 2. It's the other side of the coin. So listen up, he says. And I would say the same thing. Listen up, New Life. There were false prophets among the people. They were secretly introducing destructive heresies or falseness. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrespect. They're going to mess with the truth. And he goes on to say that in their greed, that these teachers will exploit you with stories that they have made up. And then he goes on to say, listen, God's not going to put up with this. Just he didn't before, so actually this chapter 2, it's putting you in opposition with God. No, it's not only heresies, it's not only made up stories, but just so you know, it's putting you in opposition with God. And just like the angels, he did not spare, and just like the ancient world when he brought the flood, and just like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he goes on in the passage. He says, those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. These men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. They are an accursed brood. Explanation point. I raised Holsteins and Jerseys and Angus. Angus are the accursed brood. They do taste good. But they're a pain in your neck. They can walk through a fence faster than Houdini can get out of a set of handcuffs. He said, they're an accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off. These men are springs without water. They mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the sinful human nature, they entice people. I don't think we can really grab onto what's going on here. It says you're a chapter one, but you live in a chapter two world. If you're striving to be a chapter one, you've got to know you're living in a chapter two world. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. Two sides of the same coin, two very different things, but are part of the common situation. Life, a 2 Peter 1 and a 2 Peter 2, it's part of life. It's two sides of the same coin. You can't get out of it. You live. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, two sides of the same coin, two situations in the same life. I do not need to convince us, most of us perhaps, that there is a chapter 2 world that we live in. There is a battlefield called life. My question is this morning, and I'm going to narrow it down to this question this morning. How do I raise a child in a chapter 1 child in a chapter 2 world? How do I raise a chapter one child, one who has a faith, one who is sold out for Jesus, one who has an endless supply of goodness and mercy, one who has got the Word of God and knows that it's the Word of God, the one who has been set apart, but yet I have to raise them in a chapter two world? How do I do that? Does that make sense this morning? Because I think raising the next generation as a chapter one, or wanting our children to be chapter one, ones that have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. But understanding that they're going to be out there in a chapter two world. I understand that I'm striving to live that myself. But while I strive, and some of you may not have had the benefit of having a solid chapter one life. Maybe you're just starting that at 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 years old in your life. Maybe you don't have that solid belief system and solid relationship with Jesus, and you have children. And maybe some of us have raised children, now they're grown children. I didn't follow God, now I'm a chapter one believer in Jesus Christ, and my children are trapped in chapter 2 world. I'm not here to preach a message that makes us feel shamed that we didn't have it maybe when we were raising our kids. Because I don't think it's ever too late for God to do something. And at the same breath, I'm here to challenge those that have young children to get going. The reality is you live in a chapter two world. I don't know if we're going to change the world, but you can change your child. And you can give them what they need to be a chapter one. I believe it with all my heart. Chapter one kids in a chapter two world. Daniel was a young man in the Bible. Daniel was a teenager when he was taken captive to Babylon. Babylon was a very hedonistic, very chapter two world. And as a teenager, Daniel went there as captive. They placed the best in front of him that world had to offer him. But Daniel says in Daniel 1:8, he says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. The best of the world, wine, women, and song were laid before Daniel. Listen, he's like 17 years old. And he's saying no to wine, women, and song. The best that the world has. And he's standing there in a world where he has been taken captive. And he's saying no to the best that the world has. He said, I do not want to defile myself with those situations, with that reality, with that world stuff. How did he get to that point? How did he get to the point where he can make that stand at 17 years old? When we're all, I know how those 17-year-old guys act. They're sowing wild oats. It's just the way a 17-year-old is. Shame on us. I want to raise a chapter one child, a chapter one 17-year-old teenage boy, a chapter one young lady, a chapter one. I want to raise them even though they have to live in a chapter two world. It's got to be possible, or God wouldn't ask us and give us the ability to do it. And Daniel was one of the people. And we get to, oh, Daniel in the lion's den. You know how he got to the lion's den? You know how he had victory over the lion's den? Because he stood strong when he was 16. But how did he get there? How did he navigate that journey to get there, to be that person who could say no to the world and yes to God? No world, yes God. No world, yes God. No world, yes God. And just so you know, and I've challenged teenagers with this before, and they give me a look like, you have no idea. Well, I've been a teenager. You don't get to be 54 without going through teens. It's just the way it is. And I'm not the one saying it anyway. It's God. And God is the one saying you can be a chapter one in a chapter two world. And you're never too old. But I'm telling you what, there's going to be a lot less baggage if you can get it at 8 as opposed to 50. There's going to be a lot less baggage if you can help your children get it at 2 and 3 and 4 than there is when you help them get it at 30, 40, or 50. There's going to be a lot of less baggage. Why? Because God's going to protect them. Because God's going to do something inside of them. They're going to be a part of the world. And things are going to happen in the world. But it's different. Daniel got that way. And we have no history of his family at all. We have no history of his mom and dad at all. We have no history of his parents. But I got to believe his parents were doing something. Because just so you know, 2 Chronicles 36 kind of chronicle some of the life of Daniel. And just some of what was going on in the world around Daniel. Not in Babylon, but in Jerusalem, in the city of God's people. This is some of the things that were going on. Just so you just listen. Joaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 3 months, and the king of Egypt dethroned him in Jerusalem and imposed on Judah a levy of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Taxes went through the roof. Jehoiakim did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Jehoiachin did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Still in verse 36, Zedekiah did evil in the eyes of the Lord, his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet when spoke the word of the Lord. Furthermore, all the leaders of and the priests and the people became more and more unfaithful. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again and again and again, because he had pity on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets. Just so you know, I did the math. 2 Chronicles 36 spans 22 years, 6 months, and 10 days. Daniel was 16 or 17. This is the world Daniel grew up in. And then he was taken from this world to Babylon, where he never left Babylon. He died in Babylon. He went from that world to Babylon, but somehow we get stories of Daniel in the lion's den. Somehow we get stories, these magnificent stories of not things that never happened to Daniel. He could be over here, God, why am I even in the lion's den? Why didn't you protect me from that? He never did any of those things. But he had a chapter one faith, and he lived in a chapter two world. Daniel lived in a 2 Peter 2 world and had a 2 Peter 1 faith. And it carried him through a world that was upside down and backwards. This leads me to think the power of a godly parent is second to only God. Are you with me this morning? Don't fall asleep. I don't see anybody sleeping yet, so I like to say that before you fall asleep. That way you don't think I'm pointing at you. Do I have to spend any more time convincing anybody here that we live in a chapter 2 world? Do I spend any more time thinking that the chapter 1 faith is available for everyone in this room? But God's going to give you a chapter 1 faith, but he's not going to take you out of a chapter 2 world. But he's going to do something inside of your heart and inside of your soul and inside of your mind that's going to do amazing things, and you're going to remain faithful to God. And this world is going to knock on your door and knock on your door and knock on your door and try to get in. And they're going to try to get into the little kids of our lives. They're going to try to get into the wee little ones. And we are the gatekeeper, adults. It's never too late. It may be a whole lot harder when your kids are older, but it's never too late. I'm not sure it's easier when they're 2 or when they're 12. I don't know. But I know that you and I have the ability as this generation to give the next generation the example and the power to be 2 Peter 1 believers in Jesus. And not just to build a wall around them. Not that we don't protect them, but just build a wall around them and hope the world doesn't get in. The world's going to get in unless we do something. And it's going to drive them right over the cliff as soon as it can. Let me just add a couple thoughts here. In Deuteronomy, it says this. These commands, listen, he's giving them to the Israelites. Listen, New Life verse. I'm not asking if we've ever heard this verse before, because I think we have. I'm asking, is this part of our life? He said, these commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you today, so that you may enjoy long life, so you can be a chapter 1. Believer in Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. I'm going to send you into a chapter 2 world. And you're going to need to hang on to something. You're going to need to get a hold of something. Because not only you, but your kids are going to be impacted. And their kids are going to be impacted. You got to get a hold of it, he said. You got to get a hold of it. He continues in the passage with this. Hear, O Israel. The word in the Hebrew is Shema. Shema, O Israel. Shema. Shema is a combination of hear, obey. You can't separate the two out. It means hear, obey, hear, obey, hear, obey. It's not just hear and it's not just obey. It's hear, obey. Shema, O Israel. Hear, obey, O Israel. Hear, grab onto something. You want to live as a chapter 1 believer in Jesus in a chapter 2 world. Hear, Shema, hear, obey. You want your kids to be chapter 1 believers in Jesus Christ as they navigate a chapter 2 world. Shema, hear, obey. And be careful to obey so it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. Just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Shema, O Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. Just so you know, that one there is not a theological debate on the unity of God. It means number one, central in your life. Hear, obey. The Lord is central. The Lord is number one. The Lord is the center. If you're going to survive in this world, Israel, you're going to need to know that God is the center of a chapter one world. You can't not stop walking with God and expect to survive a chapter two world. You cannot walk away from God and think you can do it on your own. You cannot get the attitude, I tried that God stuff and it doesn't work. You're going to need to know that Jesus is the center of it all. And when you walk away from him, you walk away from the center and dead center of chapter 2 world. Shema, O Israel. God is number one. I've shared before, this is my 19th job. And I got this one 20 years ago. So at 34 years old, I had 18 different jobs. From high school to 34, I had 18 jobs. Some of those jobs were logging and just you don't need a half a brain, you just need to cut down trees type of deal. You know, I mean, the guys that cut down trees know what they're doing. I wasn't one of those guys. I just was the guy who hooked the chain. And all the way to histology and phlebotomy. And Cheryl simply calls it my running from God career. Because I would do something for a while, then it just wouldn't do it for me, and I would just quit and go do something else. I've been out of work in my life for 6 days. But I've had 18 jobs. And then one day I learned, when I move away from Jesus, I move away from life. I cannot do it without Jesus. I cannot do it. Hear, O Israel, hear, new life, Shema. The Lord is central. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your notebook that you can refer to if you ever remember it. Listen, I'm not bashing anybody taking notes, but that's not where it says it needs to be. You can take notes because it gets you to your heart, right? He said these got to be a central of your life. Am I making sense today? So let me just read down through these, and this is what would have been what Daniel's parents had. You should have no other gods before me. You should not make for yourself an idol. You should not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You got to have that in your heart. You got to have this relationship with God central in your life. Just let me put that in a nutshell for you. But then it goes on to say, you got to have this, honor your mother and father, and you shall not murder. And Jesus says that letting anger move you to desire ill will for another is murder. And you shall not commit adultery. Jesus says, looking with lustful eyes is adultery. And he goes on to say, you shall not steal, and you shall not give false testimony, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. I know we don't have time to unpack all that. But I have a feeling that Daniel's parents had this vibrant relationship with Yahweh. And they were walking it out in very practical ways. And they weren't thieves. And they weren't liars. I want my children to tell the truth, but then I call off sick when I'm not sick. I know, I just went from preaching to meddling. I know that. I just can't do that, though. Billy, you need to tell the truth. Tell him I'm sick. Billy, sit in the corner because you didn't tell the truth. I'll get moving. Verses 7 and following says this, impress them on your children. You know what the definition of that is? An image of a sculptor taking careful, takes a hammer and a chisel and meticulously etches a design in the stone. Push the button. You know what this is? Michelangelo's David. It's an amazing sculpture. It was carved 1504, 515 years ago. It took him over 2 years of constant work to chisel that out. And that's the picture. That, listen, kids, and listen, families, that's the picture of what he's saying. You need to impress it on your children. I think Michelangelo had it easy. His specimen didn't move. He says, put these on your children. Give them to your children, but you can't give them this. I'm almost done. Hang on here. I know. I normally have like 1,100 characters. I had 1,400 today. I'm sorry. I couldn't chop it down anymore. I worked at it. I had 1,800. I said, no, I can't have that many. I'm down to 1,500. All right. I'm going for it. I'm down to 1,300. No, I can't take that out. I'm 1,447 characters in this outline. And what I said is not even the outline. I know I need to shut up and get going, but it's so key. There is a chapter 2 world, new lifers. And some of you and all of us perhaps are striving to be a chapter 1 believer. And maybe all of us are getting it. You're getting it. You're getting it. And then you say, why is, what's wrong with this world? It's falling apart. And God says, it's going to fall apart. But you don't have to, nor do your children. But you're going to have to impress them on your children. You're going to have to talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the roads and when you lie down and when you get up. And you're going to tie them a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frame of your house and on your gates. What he's saying is be creative and be consistent. If you want to raise a chapter 1 child in a chapter 2 world, you better be chapter 1 bleeding, baby. And then you need to talk to your kids about it. You need to stick it on the refrigerator. You need to have a sign on the wall. You need to pack it in their lunch bag. You need to send them a note. You need to text them. You need to consistently, Mom, I know God loves me. You're going to know that God loves you every single day. As long as your mama has breath, you're going to know that God loves you. Impress them on your children. Creatively, consistently. Talk about them. There's two sides of the coin to life. And Audrey Mae Catherine Yoder, has been born into a chapter 1 heritage. But they're not going to take it by chance that Audrey Mae Catherine Yoder is going to be a chapter 1 believer in Jesus Christ. They're going to commit to, when she's under our care, we're going to impress that on her, so that she can grow up as a young woman of God, living in a chapter 2 world, with full expectation that God's going to navigate her no matter what happens to her, no matter where she goes in this world, no matter if she grows up in Babylon, she'll be able to stand firm in the face of the lions. And her mom and dad are going to bring her at this very moment. They're going to bring her. I'm going to ask the, she always smiles at me. It's one of the kids here that always, her and Silas. Silas loves cookies, so he's easy to smile. You can just stand there, yeah. I'm going to ask them to make a commitment in front of us. This is like, it's just, I take it this serious, okay? This is like getting married. And you have people witnessing your vow between each other. And they come and they celebrate with you that you're vowing to each other. And Hannah and Elmer and Emerson, I remember. They've been born in and have been handed. They've been handed a sum of the chapter one faith in her life. And they're striving to know all they can and all that's on that table. And Audrey is going to be that little girl that grows up in the Yoder home. So I'm going to ask her mom and dad. It's going to be on the screen. You can cheat by looking in the back too. I'm going to say it. You're going to respond positively to this. If you respond negatively, we're just going to let you leave, okay? All right. Do you promise to love? See, this is where it is. You got to love God first if you're ever going to give it to Audrey. Do you promise to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might? Do you promise to learn God's word so that it will be on and in your heart? Do you promise to pass a living faith on to Audrey? Whew, look at you. She's receiving it. Do you promise to pray for her? Do you promise to instruct her in the Christian faith? Do you promise to teach her and to read the Word of God? Teach her to read the Word of God. Do you promise to take her faithfully to a house of worship? Do you promise to do all that is in your power to bring her into a relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of her life? Some of Audrey's extended family is here. So I ask the extended family, grandparents and family, do you promise to assist Elmer and Hannah as they endeavor to live out the vow they just made? New life. Do you promise to assist Elmer and Hannah as they endeavor to live out the vow they've just made before you? As I've said, you and I are going to be great friends. Oh, yeah. She's a Pavlov's dog all over. She's salivating, yeah. She wants it, right? As I've said to some of you that just had children, some of you that's, you are so fortunate to have a little one. And they're so fortunate to have you. It goes both ways. So we're going to pray. We're going to, as always, I want to anoint this prayer cloth, and we're going to lay that on Audrey May Catherine Yoder, and we're going to pray that God just protects her. And I am going to ask you to move down as I'll hand you this first. So in the name of Jesus, we bring the anointing to Audrey. I'm just going to have you take that. I will join you here in a minute. Then I'm going to ask her family to join as well, so you can go down off. And what I would just like that cloth to do is just to lay on Audrey somewhere. You could sit down. That's good. Anybody, if her your family, want to stand up and join them. And then I'm going to ask New Life if you would stand as we pray for Audrey and just extend your hand toward Audrey and toward the Yoder family. God, I thank you for this little baby, this little one, Audrey May Catherine Yoder. Lord, thank you for the heritage that she's been handed, and thank you for where you'll take her beyond even the generations that have preceded her. You'll take her to places, I believe, that this family does not even know yet. because you're gonna walk with Audrey all the days of her life. And as always, Lord, I pray a blessing, the Samuel blessing on Audrey, that she would know Jesus early and walk with him all the days of her life. And she will learn early what the voice of God sounds like. And she will respond, even in the toughest moments, as Samuel had to tell Eli. Even in the toughest moments, she would know your courage, and she would know your strength. Father, I want to pray a chapter one life on Audrey. I want to pray protection as she goes through a chapter two world. Father, we love her. We love Elmer. We love Hannah. We love her family. Thank you that we get to walk with them during these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. New life. May we love the Lord. Shema. May we love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And may we go forth into this world, because this chapter two world needs chapter one believers in it. In Jesus' name, have a great day.